Now, I have Gina Price from the Sociocracy Group, and I have to say that slowly or else I get all tangled up. Hi there, Gina.
Hi there, Hilary.
Thank you very much for being with us today, all the way from Western Australia, but you have been over here, over this side of Australia, quite a lot as well, haven't you?
I have. I tend to... There's quite a few people on the East Coast who are interested in Sociocracy and who have done training in eco-villages and different organisations. So, yes, I've done a few trips over there.
Yes, I'm going to be talking to one at 11:30, and that's Greg Dutton from Mullumbimby, went to one of your presentations and is a convert. So now, look, apart from the fact that it's difficult to say, for me anyway, I get tangled up with Sociocracy, but tell us all about it. I don't really know that much about it.
Yeah, well, look, the word... Deconstruct the word socio is your colleagues, the people you meet with face to face. So in Sociocracy, we really work with colleagues, whereas democracy is a majority rule kind of structure. Sociocracy is broken down so that you work with in smaller groups. However, those smaller groups are connected and nested in a hierarchy so that, you know, you can really get things done as an integrated whole of an organisation. And that can be for any kind of organisation, you know, whether you are a business, a community group, a not-for-profit, a government administration, a church group, a family. It can work for any kind of group of people who are trying to get things done, basically.
Yes, now, Gina, I would like to know how this answers our concerns about democracy at the moment, because at the moment we are not seeing representation of the will of the people. How does Sociocracy claims to promote egalitarian relationships and, I would hope, outcomes as well?
Yeah, look, Sociocracy has processes and structures in place which together work to ensure that everyone has equal say and is clear on the purpose. So you need both of those things in place. And so that's why you need elements of process so that as you're making decisions, you can make sure there is room for every voice to be heard. And then you also need a structure to make sure that at every level of your organisation or your group that everyone's clear on what their purpose is, what they're trying to achieve, and that their purpose fits into the higher level purpose of the organisation or the group or family. So through those two things, bringing clarity of purpose and valuing the voice of everyone, that's... Well, there's two things about that. Not only do you get an organisation where everyone feels part of it and they're inspired and like being part of it, but actually it's the best way to get things done. Nice that, you know, if you look at the system theory approach, it shows that if you want to get a group of individuals to work together in the most efficient way forward, then the way to do that is to give them equal say and to have them clear on their purpose. Not only does it engage everyone, but it also gets things done in the most efficient manner.
Yes, I was looking at some of the organisations that it is applied to, and quite a few of them are not for profit. Although in the Netherlands it was started after World War II and it was developed at an electrical company, which obviously was for profit. How is this going to work in a profit structure where we can see the bottom line of corporatism these days really is about profit? How do we get away from that idea? How does do the needs of the people within an organisation fit with the profit agenda?
I think the first thing is to look at the word profit, and you know, I think the history of some corporations has turned it off off that word and made it a dirty word. But actually, profit is a measure of feedback, and it's a measure of feedback for how you're going on the financial or monetary area. So we do want to be measuring and getting feedback on how we're going.
Yep.
And we do want to do it in the financial area, and we want to do it in other areas as well. So, you know, Sociocracy is certainly used in for-profit as well as not-for-profit. And as you say, it was started in an electrical business. And, you know, the point where that electrical business it was really developed in that business area. So sociocracy hasn't been developed in a university or as an academic theory thing. It's been developed in practice. And what they found is that, you know, when crisis came, that electrical company was working in the shipping industry, and there was a huge shipping crisis associated with the oil crisis in the 1970s. That company was able to reinvent itself and move around the obstructions it came across in a very efficient manner. It was able to respond to changes in external environment quickly because it valued the voice of everyone in the organisation, so it could capture the voice of leadership wherever it occurred. And it had very clear structures so that, you know, you could make changes and make sure that everything stayed on board and your structure stayed cohesive and you're still working as an integrated whole of a business as you steered around changes in the external world. So businesses like it because it's dynamic, it's agile, you know, it can respond to changes. And a good business needs to be both of those things. It needs to be steerable, and yep. It needs to be able to respond to changes in the environment.
Yep. So just tell us then, Gina, how does this describe the structure to us and how it works and why it works in the ways that you've just pointed out?
Yeah. Well, the structure is a hierarchical structure, and this can be quite challenging for businesses because they're used to seeing hierarchies as a top-down power structure. However, sociocracy also has a bottom-up structure because it's giving voice to every person. And so that's the challenge for businesses. For not-for-profits or people who are used to working in a flat structure where everyone has equal say, it's challenging because it actually gives life to the hierarchy. And the reason why it does is that hierarchies are very efficient in being clear who's doing the work and being clear on your aim and what you're trying to do. Their weakness is if they're used as a top-down power structure, then there's the people down below are not contributing, they don't feel part of it, and it's not getting the value of what they have to say. So it does both of those things by using a hierarchical structure, but designing processes within that which encourage very careful discipline in how you make your decisions to make sure that everyone has a voice. And the aim of your decision-making process is actually to seek out any objections or any reasons that are going to stop you moving forward with a particular idea.
How does all of this within a group, everyone having a say, how do you envisage that this would bring deeper principles of democracy into the overall decision-making process that is going to affect society on a deep, meaningful level?
Well, I think if you know, ideas about the wisdom of the masses, and there's quite a lot of studies around now that are showing that, you know, we make the best decisions when we make them together, because then we're using all the wisdom of the group. The trap is, how do you hear everybody's voice and not let that derail your decision making and have you spending hours listening to what everyone likes or doesn't like? That can be a very torturous process.
What you're describing there, Gina, also though, does have someone who makes the ultimate decision, doesn't it? So how are we ensured within this system that the people at the so-called top don't just listen but still employ exactly what they wish to employ? How does the structure protect us against that? Because it's all very well for us to put forward ideas, but if they are not implemented, there's no value in it whatsoever.
Sure, that's right. Well, the way you do it is that you elect representatives at every level of the organisation, elects representatives to represent them at the level above, and there's someone from the level above who participates on the level below. So between every level of your organisation, you've got at least two voices who are taking the views from below up to the higher level. And that election process is a special sociocratic election process, which is which is a very powerful process in itself. And so those elected representatives are elected for a period of time, and it's always clear how long for, to carry the voice of down below up to the levels above.
All right.
Those elected representatives have full participation rights on the circle above.
All right.
And if there's something they don't like at that circle above, they can object. And if anyone objects, that decision can't go forward. Start doing problem solving and work out how to get around that objection and maintain your aim.
Is that a bit like the Greek Forum, only a bit different?
I can't say I know a lot about the Greek Forum to compare it. But I guess it's any decision making where they're seeking out objections. That's the value of it, and you're not spending a lot of time trying to get the perfect solution which everybody likes and talking about what everyone likes and doesn't like. You're mainly keeping your discussions or your conversations down to seeking objections and then problem solving about how to get around those objections.
Right, I do understand that now. I understand the way the structure works. We're not looking at a lineal climb to the top with a bottom and a top. We're looking at a circular structure that's dynamic and moving up and down through in a circular way, up and down through that structure all the time.
That's right. That's a nice summary of it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that you are engaging, you know, a lot of feedback loops. So, you know, you aim to, if you're going to fail soon and fast. So you try something, then you measure, how did it go, you feedback, you review, and you move on. So there's a lot of measurement and feedback in all areas. Is very inherent in the structures as well.
Oh, that sounds very, very interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people listening would like to know more about that. It seems to me that it is going to avoid the situation that we are coming up against increasingly on a local level in our fight to have democracy and representation of our issues and our problems. It's not happening. But within the groups themselves that are fighting for this, you're getting power plays that are part of that old structure that destroy the community's hopes right from the beginning. And to me, that we actually do need to be protected from ourselves, obviously. And I'm very interested in what you've been saying. And lastly, the million-dollar question, Gina. Do you ever see it being able to be brought into a huge national structure where we can have a new system of governance, perhaps?
Look, I definitely do. I think, you know, people like myself are working towards a sociocratic society. But I think it's going to look quite differently from society as it is. And I think it's going to start from the bottom. It's going to be moving, and it is. And it will look more like a network, you know, of neurons rather than one huge pyramid with a prime minister up the top.
Well, you know, I think that sounds like a fantastic idea. And I want to thank you very much for being with us today and giving us an insight into, because I think many people out there think, where do we go from here, you know? And it's wonderful to think that this is a work in progress, the way you've described it. It's a never-ending work in progress, and people are working at it. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Right, thanks. Thanks a lot, Gina.
Yes, thanks, Hilary.
Bye. I've been talking to Gina Price from the Sociocracy Group, and she's over in Western Australia, but they do come over and do presentations over here. You're on 94.7 The Pulse.